Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now. And now, Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for the aforementioned American Family News. Good morning slash good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon slash good morning. Okay. I'm over here to the east of you, so it might be afternoon where I'm sitting.
I think it is. I think the date line runs right between you and Fred.
That's right.
Yeah. So
I walk the line.
You walk the line and carry a guitar while you're doing it and
I gotta
sing
tell
Johnny
you,
Cash tunes.
I'm not having a good day. I was coming over and I looked out, and this is a problem when you're on radio that probably no one knows about, but my pocket is falling off my shirt.
Your pocket
the
is
pocket,
falling off?
You know, I need a pocket protector. Apparently, I wasn't protecting the pocket because it's the breast pocket on the dress shirt.
Yeah.
And it just all of a sudden it
looks
I realized.
Like you just snagged it on something.
I probably did. I think I put my phone in there. I didn't realize it. But. So I am unkempt.
You are unkempt. And I'm just going to tell you, we just can't have that.
I'm sorry. I beg
a
the indulgence.
Pocket. You just need to go see somebody about
I
that.
I beg the indulgence of the radio audience, and especially those listening or watching on Facebook.
Yeah, you know, I never
YouTube
mentioned that.
Because they might be just totally offended at my unkemptness.
Your unkemptness. Yeah, so we're getting a late start, but if you want to watch us on Facebook or YouTube, I don't know who would want to watch us on both simultaneously, but you can just go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues. And you can watch us. And on Facebook, I know that we have a regular group of listeners slash viewers who interact with one another. And they have a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, so. Community. They ought to have a – I know you guys are listening. You should all plan a reunion, your reunion somewhere. Maybe come down to Tupelo. You could be a studio audience. We'd love to have you guys all come down and visit us.
And you know, you can stay at Steve's house.
Yes.
And listen, that's the kind of thing. Listen, we actually had a couple. They became a couple during Share-a-thon here.
Yes.
1 year. And they both came from different places, I think. And they were volunteering, and they wound up getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know how these things happen.
You don't need no stinking dating service. Come on, do the phones at AFR.
AFR.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what else? What kind of news you got for us?
I tell you, Houston cannot catch a break. So Tuesday, about 1 o'clock p.m., a tropical depression, I guess it is, where's the name? I had the name.
Imelda.
Thank you. There it is. Imelda made landfall, and it is dropping rain by the bucketful. Fred, you were looking somewhere. You said that you saw somewhere about 3 feet of rain in the last, 24 hours?
Headline on Drudge says they've had 3 feet of rain, in the last 24, 48 hours.
Now, this is in the wake, a couple of years ago, of a hurricane that parked itself over that part of Texas.
August of 2017, Hurricane Harvey.
Harvey, that's
made
right.
landfall as a Category 4, and the winds were bad enough, but like you say, it parked itself for several days right over Houston and just dropped water and water and water and then moved off. And our friends at 8 Days of Hope, of course, were down there for months and even a couple years helping clean up.
Right.
I wouldn't surprise me if they'll be back. Mm. Just,
having
a hard time.
So folks, continue to pray for those stuck in Houston with Imelda dumping.
It's not only Houston. Our good friends Port Arthur in that area also. And I was just reading there's the Texas town of Winnie, which is about 60 miles east of Houston. A hospital there has already has to be evacuated, and water is inundating several homes and businesses. Chambers County Sheriff's Office says Winnie is being devastated by rising water, and the water rescues are ongoing.
Wow. Now, so is this also hitting Louisiana?
Well,
yet?
Well, Port Arthur is right up against Louisiana.
Okay.
So
right.
The system is moving in that direction. So our good friends there also along the coast of Louisiana. And it's, the ground is drenched.
Right.
There's nowhere for this water to go. And so when you're talking about evacuating hospitals now and businesses, This is very serious, folks, and we need to be praying for these folks. And don't hang around. Get out as soon as you can. You can always go back, rebuild again.
Right.
But don't try to do what so many people try to do at these times. Well, I'm going to stick it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay here. This is dangerous stuff.
Right.
This comes in the wake of what happened in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You know, and
people drowned in their attic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
they couldn't get out through the roof when the water rose.
If you're ahead of this, get out right now. You can always come back, clean up, and there will be people there to help you later on.
Well, it is hurricane/tropical storm season, and this is just a part of life for people in the Caribbean and on the Gulf Coast of the U.S. and up the East Coast. This is just part of life during hurricane season. Mm-hmm. All right. What else you got?
It's also campaign season, which means all kinds of proposals of free stuff from Democrats.
Yes, also being drenched with offers.
So Bernie Sanders has unveiled a brand new housing program because, you know, Ed and Fred, it is a fundamental right to have a safe, decent, accessible, and affordable home, a human right.
What constitute, or it says that in the Constitution somewhere?
No,
it doesn't. You know, this is part of the, go ahead, explain, do you have something else? To?
Well, no, I'll tell you, it's a $2.5 trillion
with
plan.
With a T?
With a T, trillion-dollar plan.
Over 10 years or something.
I think it's over 10 years. Let me just give you a little bit of what Bernie has been proposing. Bernie, these are all over 10 years, but Bernie is proposing a Medicaid for all, a universal single-payer health care system that will cost $40 trillion, 40 trillion with a T,
over 10 years.
He wants to forgive college debt, which would cost about $1.6 trillion over 10 years. And he wants to pay for college tuition. Now, he wants to pay at historically black colleges and I believe state colleges. That has been figured out to be about $2.2 trillion over 10 years. And now add $2.5 of free housing to that, and you're at about $46 trillion worth of free stuff that he is advocating.
All funded by taxing the rich.
Just the rich, the top couple percent, just a couple, you know, they won't even notice it.
Right.
The GDP, the gross domestic product, the amount of goods that we make and manufacture in a year.
Goods and services.
And services comes to $19 trillion a year. Over 10 years, that's $190 trillion, and 46 of that, about a third of that, is now new proposals. Remember also that two-thirds of the budget is non-discretionary spending, things that we've already offered for free, like Social Security and Medicare and those things that we have no choice but to spend this stuff. So the math just ain't adding up.
Is that a problem?
No, it doesn't seem to be.
You know what this adds up to, folks? Venezuela.
Yes.
This is what it adds up to. It adds up to Venezuela. It adds up to Cuba. You know, and we know Bernie Sanders, good friend of Fidel Castro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't he have his honeymoon in Moscow?
Honeymoon in Havana.
Oh, in Havana. Okay.
Yeah. Little Moscow.
Little Moscow. Listen, what this appears to be to me is because Americans have not been taught over the last couple of generations very well or very efficiently about history or about our system of government, they conflate these ideas. They'll say it's a right for everyone to have good, safe housing. Well, if you're talking about just in general the idea that people should be able to have a place to live, I think most Americans nod and they go, oh, well, sure, we don't want people living in a cave or being homeless. But what they're doing is they're conflating that with it is a right, it's a constitutional right, therefore the government must provide it. Well, so if you could ask somebody who says this kind of thing, well, then you believe that people have a right to food, nutritious food. Most of these folks will say, absolutely. Do you think the government should pay for it? Should they foot everybody's food bill every week because they have a quote-unquote right to it? So there's confusion as to what this means by right to. If the Constitution says you have a right to it, the government's got to provide it.
The reporter in me has to just interject here that Bernie Sanders is talking about a human right. I don't think he's ever said it's a constitutional right. There's there could be a distinction in his mind for that, maybe. But I have this theory, and I don't know if you guys believe this or not, but I think that the Democrat candidates that are out there running for president, they can offer about whatever they want. And if they can come within a wild hair's breadth of making some kind of saying tax is going to pay for it, they're scot-free because they're never going to be able to make it happen. You remember how much trouble they had passing Obamacare?
Right.
And that was going to increase a lot of spending, but it wasn't in the trillions. And they had to cheat to just pass that. I don't think I don't think any of this stuff is going to make it. So they just promise it. So folks, when you're out there at the polls, don't count up what free stuff you think you're going to get from the candidate, because I just don't think it's going to happen, any of it.
Right.
Well, there's two things. You know, Bernie Sanders, they say, according to the polls, young people really like what Bernie is promising.
Right.
And why do they like it? Because they've been taught that all of these things are fundamental rights.
Yes.
For everybody in society. What they haven't been taught, there are not enough billionaires in the world to afford what Bernie is promising.
Right.
There's just not. And by the way, billionaires can pick up and move.
Right. That's right. They've done that, moving from one state to another. They've left New York.
New York to Florida.
To Florida.
That's what they're doing. So your billionaires, they will just get on their private jets, and they'll find some island in the Caribbean, and they'll
move all their money.
Deposit their money down there.
Right.
And so, companies and businesses that are going to be taxed.
Right.
Same thing.
Exactly. So, you know, if you stop and just look at this, here's the other problem. Most of the mainstream media today will not do what journalists should do. Let's cost Bernie's programs.
Right.
Let's really look at what this will cost. Let's really look at the feasibility of saying, well, this 1% of the taxpayers, they're ripping you off already. Hey, let's just punish them for their success. Let's really look at this, and they would discount what Bernie is promising just like that, along with Elizabeth Warren, along with Cory Booker, along with Kamala Harris, and all the rest.
Well, and if you look, and when you do have, I don't know whether it's a media outlet or the Congressional Budget Office or what have you, but when they do put numbers to a plan like Elizabeth Warren and say this will increase middle class taxes by $5,000 a year, then you can't get a straight answer from her.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to talk about total costs going down. Well, yes, but will the middle class pay $5,000 more in taxes? Well, she doesn't answer that. And so far, she's getting away with that tactic.
You know, and I wish people, too, on this idea of Medicare for all. Every time I go back and visit family in Canada, the local newspaper, I was reading it almost every day. And in that local newspaper, there were notices almost every day that a hospital in this city is going to be shutting down its emergency room for 5 days. And if you have an emergency, you must go to the next city down here.
Right.
That's socialized medicine. Each hospital has a budget. It runs out of that budget. We're down into almost to the end of September. So now we're going to shut down our emergency rooms. And another crisis up there, they can't get doctors to go to smaller cities.
Right.
No, sorry, I'm not going to do that, because the facilities there are just not what I could work with.
Right.
And so you have cities that are out there trying to come up. We just want one doctor to come to town. You know, this is socialized medicine. Our journalists in this country are not doing their job when it comes to this kind of thing. You know, these Democrats are allowed to go out here and promise you the world, promise you the moon, and they're not being held accountable for it.
Right.
I just say, wake up, America.
And to Steve's point, they're not being honest, because they don't really believe all this can happen.
No.
And,
they can't. They can't.
All right. What else you got?
The crisis at the border continues to expand. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the backlog of dockets of cases that are pending on deportation cases has surpassed 1 million. They have 1 million cases that are backlogged of people that need to be heard if they are deported or if they are allowed asylum. It's way worse than anybody's really aware.
All right, so where do these people hang out while they're waiting for their court case? Are they in a facility? Are they free to roam the country while they're waiting for their hearing?
Well, it depends on when they came. They've had several different agendas down there during the Obama administration. I don't know if some of these million were, I mean, if you had a million people, it's not probably some of them are more than 2 years old, mm-hmm. you know. It was catch and release. So under the Obama administration, if someone came over and they were caught, they would be assigned one of these court dates and then said, okay, you can go and you can show up in a couple years and we'll give you the date and you show up. And, of course, they don't. And then we started housing them in tents in little cities on the border here on this side of the border.
Concentration camps.
Concentration camps, as AOC would say.
Making them drink out of the toilet.
Yes, all of that good stuff. So there's a lot of people that are in those. But of late, the Trump administration has made an agreement with Mexico that if they come and are caught, they have to go back to Mexico. And they're staying, there's tent cities over in Mexico that they're waiting. So they're all over the place. And lately, I think, Fred, that they had, he has also worked this deal out where you cannot, I don't know if this, I think the courts upheld this, you cannot ask for asylum in the United States if you had to cross a safe country to get here.
Right. Mm-hmm. You've got to apply for asylum
in the first safe country that you come to.
Yes.
And that was upheld, right, by a federal judge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So those might be counted in, too. So it's just the backlog. And the Democrats in Congress itself, Republicans in Congress probably could have dealt with this earlier. But certainly now the Democrats in Congress want to pick the president apart, want to go down and make havoc down at their own havoc down at the border. But they have yet to do anything to solve the problem. It's a problem of changing the immigration laws. Thomas Holman, the former acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement at one point, was on the Hill, Capitol Hill the other day, and we played some of these explosive excerpts of his testimony with Congress. But his message to them was, you know, if you don't like it, change the law. That's your job.
Right.
But they don't. So I think they want to make
it. They don't pass laws, period.
They want to make it an election issue.
Right.
Well, and the fact that the headline from the Wall Street Journal is, you know, the backlog is what, that's the backlog.
Right.
It exceeds 1
yes,
million.
That's true. Good point.
What evidence that provides us with the magnitude of the problem? Going back through the summer and in the spring, 10,000 people crossing our border every week illegally.
Right.
10,000 people. Those are small cities coming into this country. You know, the president was criticized for calling it an invasion. Nancy Pelosi said walls are immoral.
Right.
Please. I mean, it is a crisis on our southern border. We must have a secure border. I'm just thankful, you know, the president was down on the border yesterday showing portions of the new wall that is being built. If you don't agree that this is a national security issue and that the President of the United States ought to demonstrate and execute his responsibility to take Pentagon money, which is what, $700 billion a year?
Right.
That's their budget. And there's a big fuss over him taking $3 billion of that.
Right.
$700 billion.
Well, to Steve's point, this is just about politics.
It is.
So it doesn't matter if it's a reasonable amount of money or if it's a reasonable thing for a president to do in the carrying out of his duties as commander-in-chief or the president, chief executive. None of that matters. What matters is it's Trump doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We hate Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to resist. And that's been their motto since he was elected in 2016.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Did you guys, I know you talked with Jan Markell about the situation with the Israeli elections. Did you guys talk about Saudi Arabia?
A little bit of the conversation was about that.
Well, I just wanted to point out, if this is redundant, please, we'll move on. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has doubled down on the accusations that Iran is responsible for the attack on the Saudi oil fields, and he is now calling it an act of war.
Mm.
After the President Trump tweeted out that we were locked and loaded, now we've got the Secretary of State, an act of war. The Secretaries of State, including Mike Pompeo, are very reserved with language. Mm-hmm. They are diplomats.
Because other countries parse the words carefully.
They do.
Right.
And we send messages in the minutest little inferences of words and phrases and everything. So this is a big message that he's sending. So, and President Trump has ordered Secretary of Treasury Steve Mnuchin to substantially increase sanctions on Iran amidst escalating tensions between our two countries. So, folks, that's another area of prayer, to concern, because Iran is they export terrorism. They want to have a footprint in the Middle East. They want to be a controlling partner in the Middle East. And
well, and right now there's no real counterweight. The United States is really the only counter. Now, Israel could, but there are some strategic and tactical issues. They would have to fly over Iraqi airspace or Turkish right. airspace, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So the U.S. is really the only counterweight, but most Americans don't want to go to war again in the Middle East. Iran is taking they're taking advantage of that, I think. And since Saudi Arabia was attacked, I think it falls first on that country and other Arab countries who've had a historical struggle against Iran, which is Persian.
Mm-hmm.
They need to step up and take some action. If that was an act of war, Saudi Arabia needs to hit back, maybe with some American help. But I think what President Trump is doing, as evidenced by when Iran shot down that U.S. drone right. in international airspace, he did not want to kill Iraqis over an unmanned drone. So he's showing some restraint, and Iran's taking advantage of that.
I think historically, for all his bluster, I think everybody kind of agrees that as far as actions he's taken, they've been restrained. You remember when
right.
He caught the Syrian rebels dropping sarin gas on their citizens, and he could have gone in. I mean, he would have been justified to help somebody, if not the U.S., move in and take over. He launched an airstrike against the base where those planes took off to deliver those chemical weapons, and he gave the Russians that were at the base a heads up to get out so that
right.
they weren't hurt. So there's red lines, and he pays attention to them, but I think it's measured. So whatever is the response here, the U.S., I think when he says an act of war, when Pompeo does, and when President says we're locked and loaded, it's still, I believe, going to be a measured and tactical response. And you're right. So Saudi Arabia and the help they're going to get from the U.S., they're buying
right.
planes and all kinds of stuff. So, yes.
They all are. Right. You got one more story we can fit in here?
I do. Folks, if you are like perhaps Catholic, or if you are a Christian who believes it's right to confess your sins, the NBC is asking you to confess your sins regarding climate change. They have a website where you can go and you can type in your confessional to the priests of climate change, I suppose, and you'll be, I don't know if you're given absolution, but you can say, oh, I have, one person wrote, I fly to see my son on the West Coast, I live on the East, so yeah, how dare he? Mm. I drive to work even though the bus is almost as fast. I wish I'd been born a vegan and then maybe it would be easier. I can't seem to give up meat. Yeah, we're to confess our sins one to another. Now we're to confess our climate change sins to NBC.
I love milk.
You do.
I'm confessing to that. I love milk, so yeah, I gotta have cows.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners.
Yeah, I know. Mm.
Well, and this is in the wake yesterday of the story. Didn't we cover the story yesterday of Union Theological Seminary?
Yes. Yeah.
Where they had
confessing
in chapel,
to plants.
They were confessing their sins, their environmental sins, to plants.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. I said to plants. They had a picture of them kneeling in front of plants that were in the chapel. Well,
I'm sorry, Mr. Geranium.
Yes. Well, how do you know it's a Mr. Geranium?
Someone said they're praying the Gourd's Prayer.
Oh, man, that's bad. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today for this edition of Today's Issues. More great programming directly ahead on the American Family Radio News Network. Bye for now.